وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أعمالكم عمالكم. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. لتسلسة درود شريف، اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders and dear brothers, we are at this point in time at a critical juncture, not only in this country but around the world, globally. And the events in our country in the last few days, in fact I would say the last few hours, is a matter of concern for every citizen of this country. We cannot live in isolation. Our destiny is tied with what happens in this country. Last few days we saw the demise of Ahmed Kathrada. May Allah give him maghfirah. Allah grant him Jannah. There were certain events that unfolded politically relating to that event. And then we've heard last night and this morning a complete reshuffle of the cabinet and the implications this has for the country, the stability of the country, politically, economically, socially, internationally, in many ways. These things impact on all of us. Therefore, my dear friends, we have to heed the words of advice of our pious elders and pious predecessors when they said that we as a community, wherever we are living, we cannot live in isolation, we cannot live in insulation. We have to be cognizant of the happenings around us, we have to be aware of the happenings around us, and we also have to have some kind of plan of action, some kind of involvement to whichever extent possible. Of course, there is no doubt about the fact that our amal and actions are the ultimate factors that decide our destiny and our future. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned clearly in a hadith that I quoted, "A'malukum ummalukum." Your actions are your rulers. Your actions, a'malukum ahwalukum. Your actions are your conditions that will befall you and that will overtake you. There is no doubt about that. However, we live in a world of means, and side by side with adopting the correct amal and actions, there are certain means also that have to be adopted, because this is part and parcel of amal. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself adopted various means. When he arrived in Medina Munawwara, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sized up the situation. They were living in a very hostile environment. There were people in Medina who were very unhappy with the arrival of the Muslims, and there was great fear that these people could make life very difficult and miserable for the Muslims. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself set out to meet the different chiefs of the non-Muslim tribes, especially the Jewish tribes. He went, he met them, and he crafted a document that is called Mithaq-e-Madina, which is perhaps the first written constitution in the world. Very detailed document setting out how the mutual relations will be within the society of Medina. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopted these measures. He did not sit back and say, listen, Allah's help is with us, I am Allah's Nabi, Allah's help is with us, we can sit back and take it easy. He adopted all the means that were necessary from a worldly point of view. Thereafter, a person puts trust and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we have been taught in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that اِعْفِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Tie your camel. Tie your camel, then place your trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But first tie your camel. We cannot say leave the camel loose to run and we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is misplaced trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made the world in that way that you don't adopt the means and expect things to happen in your favor. This is Alamul Asbab. This is a world of means. This is a world of cause and effect. We have been instructed to adopt the means and to follow the cause. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show the result. Occasionally, as a miracle, as a karamat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may cause something to happen which went against the means or beyond the means or above the means. That's a rare instance. It's not the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us as an ummah that we must adopt the means. Adopt the asbab. Thereafter, whatever comes will be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. So we find that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Medina Munawwara, he took the necessary measures and steps to safeguard the interest of the Muslim Ummah, the interest of the Muslim community. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took extraordinary measures. He went to the non-Muslim people of Medina. He went to the Jews of Medina. He sat with them. He dialogued with them. He spoke to them. He got them to sign a mutually agreeable document that would protect and safeguard the rights of all. A constitution, as I mentioned earlier on. Why did Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopt these measures? Because the world we are living in is a world of asbab and means. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us through his sunnah that whatever asbab and means are necessary, we need to adopt those asbab and means. The battle of Uhud takes place. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeds for the battle of Uhud with his illustrious companions and sahaba. They come to a place that is called, till today, these places are marked by a masjid that has been built on the spot to preserve the history of that particular spot. Remember, there was no masjid there in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the masjid was constructed by the people later to preserve that particular spot for history and for posterity. So they built a masjid. Two masjids, in fact, are found on the route to mountain of Uhud from Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif. The road that leads from Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif to the mountain of Uhud, straight road, on the side of that road there are two masjids. One is known as Masjid al-Shaykhain. And the other one is known as Masjidul Mustarah. Masjidul Mustarah is that masjid where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a rest and he made aram for a short while. So to mark that particular spot where he rested, that spot was marked by the building and construction of a masjid. Till today it exists. Many a times when we go for ziyarah and the guide is knowledgeable of these things, he will show us and he will tell us. He said, listen, this is Masjid al-Mustarah. This is the masjid or the spot where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rested on his journey to the battle of Uhud. There is another spot that is called Masjid al-Shaykhain. This particular masjid, Masjid al-Shaykhain, is that masjid where Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put on his armor. He put on the armor at Masjid al-Shaykhain. And amazingly, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put on a double armor, at the time of the battle of Uhud. The reason why he put on a double armor was for additional safety and protection. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not consider it against tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put on the armor in the first place. He could have very well said, look, I am the Nabi of Allah, the malaika are surrounding me, the malaika are protecting me, Allah is protecting me, I am protected from all sides. So what is the need for me to put on armor? Why do I need to take these measures? No, we don't find that approach. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the approach of putting on not just one, but he put on a double armor. Additional protection. Exactly what I mentioned earlier on. اِعْقِلْهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ Tie your camel. And once you've tied your camel, now place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the constant lesson we find in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba. They took all the necessary measures and steps. The battle of the trench. What was the battle of the trench? If we look at the topography of Medina, we look at the layout of the city of Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed a kind of a very secure, natural boundary and protection around the entire city of Medina, because many centuries ago, there was a volcano that erupted, and from the volcano that erupted, the lava that came out formed molten rocks, black molten rocks, around the entire city of Medina Sharif. And through these molten rocks of the lava, it gives natural protection to Medina Munawwara, because it is so difficult to cross over this molten lava rocks that any person who tries to cross over will have great difficulty, let alone an entire army of thousands of people. They will never be able to cross over. They will never be able to cross over those molten rocks. However, there was one, what we could refer to as a weak spot. There was one particular part, one particular area that was not protected by this natural boundary of the lava rocks, and it was feared that the enemy would attack Medina from that direction. The enemy had made all the preparations, they had formed the coalition of forces. Nowadays we hear coalition forces. Coalition forces, Suratul Ahzab. The meaning of the word Ahzab is coalition forces. Quran already spoke about coalition forces 1400 years ago. These coalition forces came and they planned to make one massive and complete and total onslaught on Medina, so that they could once and for all wipe out the Muslims. Wipe out Islam and Muslim from the surface of the earth, from the map of the world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the plans of the enemy. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his spies to go and monitor their movement, what they are doing, where are they, etc. Again we see the complete life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were constantly adopting measures and means of safeguarding and protecting their interests and the interests of Islam and Muslims. So you find that the spies went out and they began to monitor the situation and they brought back intelligence and information to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was an intelligence gathering activity, brought back information, O Nabi of Allah, so many thousands, the enemy are about 10,000 and they are heading in the direction of Medina. And this is how they plan to attack from that particular area of Medina, because all else, all other places, they were just little narrow mountain passes that merely 2, 3, 4, 5 people could pass through at one given point in time. Not more than that. So those armies could not enter Medina from any of those areas. The one and only point they could enter was from this particular area where there were no the lava rocks. So obvious, it was very obvious that the enemy was planning the onslaught from that particular direction. So what do we find? We find that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately called mashwara and counsel with his companions and sahaba. That what do we do? How do we defend ourselves? How do we defend our city of Medina? Again, we learn the lesson. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't sit back and said, listen, Medina is such a mubarak city. I am the Nabi of Allah. The help of Allah is with us. We are on Islam. We are on Iman. Malaika surrounding Medina. We can all take it easy. Allah will protect Medina. We don't have to do anything. That was not the attitude. They took the necessary steps and measures. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called a council and mashwara of his sahaba. And he said, this is the threat that we are facing. This is the danger that we are facing. In light of this particular danger, what do we do? And here again we find Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted with sahaba, made mashwara with them, to emphasize the importance of mashwara. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have very well sent down the wahi and revelation to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do this, do that. But we find that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashwara with his companions to entrench this great practice of mashwara. There is great protection in mashwara. In consulting, the hearts become united through the barakah of mashwara. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires people with answers, with solutions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this practice back into our ummah. It must come in to the extent, right from a macro level, the highest level, right to the lowest level, micro level, to the extent that in every home, the home, the affairs of the home should be run on the basis of mashwara. A father, the figurehead of the house, can make his decision without asking anyone in the family. He can stamp his authority and take his decision, and the family have nothing but to comply, because it's the father's decision. But in many instances we will find that they will not willingly accept that decision. And Allah forbid, there might come an instance of defiance, where they will defy him, and they will not accept his decision. So therefore, the best method of decision making that Deen Islam has taught its followers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised it in the Holy Quran, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. consult them in matters. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Their matters are decided on the basis of shura and mutual consultation. So we find, my dear friends, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashwara, and we should make this mashwara in our homes. If the father consults with the family and they give their input, even though his view may be different from their view, but he will be able to convince them and they will accept. In a business, the partners should make mashwara. Even if it is a father who is heading the business and his sons are in the business, make mashwara. We find a lot of conflict situations and lots of ill feelings and misgivings and doubts and suspicions in the mind because this practice of mashwara is discarded. In the affairs collectively of the ummah, our masajid, our madaris, our institutions, we should adopt the practice of mashwara. Right to the highest level, even on the level of government and the level of the state, we should be adopting mashwara. So coming back to the incident, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mashwara with his companions and he asked them, what do we do? Several occasions when he made mashwara. The adhan that we call out 5 times a day, that is as a result of mashwara. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to inquire from the companions, how do we call people to salah? Different views were given. Some people said ring a bell, some said beat a drum, some said light a fire. But none of these appealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took a recess overnight to go and think over it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired a sahabi by Abdullah bin Zayd bin Abdi Rabbihi, that he saw a dream. And in the dream he saw the two angels. And they were discussing how to call Muslims to salah, and one called out the wording of the adhan while the other one listened. And he went and conveyed to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the next morning. So it was through the barakat of mashwara that we even have the 5 daily adhans. So they strategized what to do. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala from Persia, he gave the view and he said, O Nabi of Allah, in our country when we are faced with these kind of challenges and threats, then in order to safeguard ourselves, we dig a deep trench. So the enemy cannot jump over the trench, they cannot attack us. At the most they can attack us with their arrows and the spears which they will throw over the trench, but their horsemen and the infantry cannot cross over and attack us. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked this very much, this view, and him and the companions adopted this view and they set out digging that trench. In a matter of five or six days, that trench was dug. 5 or 6 kilometers in length, 5 meters wide, 5 meters deep. It was very strenuous labor. And it was nothing short of a miracle that they were able to dig that trench in such a short period of time. But the point I'm making again is that look at the principle. Look at the methodology of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The methodology was to adopt the means, to take all the necessary measures and steps for safeguarding and protecting oneself. Not to sit back and say, well, let things happen as they are happening, and we shall see. So my dear friends, let me come back to a very earlier point that I made, or the opening remarks I made in the beginning of the talk, that at this point in time, we are at a very crucial juncture in our country. This last week has been a very turbulent week. The last few hours have been very, very volatile. We know what is the impact that it is having politically, economically, and every other way on our country. And in the face of these type of challenges, it is very necessary for Muslims to playing whatever part is possible. I'm not sure what we should be doing. I'm not saying what we should be doing. But I'm saying that we have to look at some plan of action. We cannot be spectators. We cannot just be armchair critics and allow things to spiral out of control. Whatever means can be adopted and have to be adopted from our side, we should do. We should not live isolated and insulated from the affairs of the country. We need to be fully aware of what is happening, and as I mentioned, whatever means can be adopted, we need to adopt. And I mentioned earlier on in the talk that one of the strongest means to adopt is to reform our actions, our attitudes, our practices, our way of life. This definitely is going to have an impact. We should become the true ambassadors of Islam and the teachings of Islam and the value system of Islam and the ethics of Islam and the guidelines of Islam. If we become true ambassadors of Islam, we will touch the lives of people around us. We will influence them positively. People will look at us in a different light. They will have a different view and opinion. Like Yusuf alayhi salam, one man minority, one individual, by virtue of his honesty and his integrity and his compassion and his concern for the welfare of the country, he stepped forward and he said, "Ij'alni ala khazain al-ard, inni hafizun alim." I will take the responsibility of becoming the Minister of Finance. I can see people smiling when you talk to your Minister of Finance. But here was a classical example that Yusuf alayhi salam took the position of Minister of Finance. And he said, "Inni hafizun alim." I have the competency and the integrity and the honesty to fulfill this role. And Allahu Akbar, what a remarkable change came about the society of Egypt by the contribution of one individual, one individual. We have a role to play, my dear friends. We have work to do. I don't have the time, but I brought with me a message which I had shared at various platforms in the past, which was published also and distributed widely. But this message is ever fresh and perennial. It will never go stale. And this is the message from none other than one of the great luminaries and thinkers and scholars and reformers and philosophers of Islam in the recent past, none other than the great scholar Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi, who was respected both in East and West and the Arab world and the non-Arab world. And this was a speech which he delivered in 1982 in UK at the opening of the Markaz in Dewsbury. It was a very, very inspiring speech, and it was a historic speech, and it contains tremendous amount of lessons. But as I say, time is not in our favor. I am just going to rush through one, two sentences or phrases that the Sheikh mentioned there. And he said this, that if you decide to live in an enclosed environment, simply content with your prayers and fasting, apathetic to the people and society you're living in, never introducing them to the higher Islamic values and your personal qualities, then beware. Then beware lest any religious or sectarian violence flares up. In such a situation, you will not find safety and protection. What is the Sheikh trying to say to us? He's trying to say that don't lead a life of insulation and isolation and cut yourself out, and don't project and promote the true Islamic teachings and values. As I mentioned early on, every one of us should be an ambassador of Islam. Let us all make intention. Put our hands up, my dear brothers, for the pleasure of Allah. put, all of us put our hands up and say, Inshallah, we will at least, we will, this gathering that is here, we will endeavor to be the ambassadors of Islam. May Allah accept our intention.